RNZ Pacific News, kia ora ana, I'm Seo Manute Vamta Whai. An MP on the opposition benches in Fiji has raised concerns over a lack of funding to address human trafficking. Fiji First MP Ioane Nevaluroa says it's concerning just over $4,000 has been set aside for the Ministry of Home Affairs Human Trafficking Unit to tackle the issue in this financial year. Mr. Nevaluroa told Fiji Village that if human trafficking is not confronted or effectively taken care of, it could become as problematic as the drug crisis in Fiji. The Guam National Weather Service's latest outlook says extreme to exceptional drought persists in parts of the Micronesian sub-region. Yap in Federated States of Micronesia and the northern parts of the Marshall Islands, including Majuro, are the worst affected areas. Lydia Lewis has more.
The majority of the northern Mariana Islands are experiencing severe drought. Assessment teams and residents from Yap have reported agricultural strain, with staple crops such as taro patches and coconuts drying up. While parts of Yap State and Federated States of Micronesia may see some much-needed rain, dry conditions continue in the northern Mariana Islands throughout the week. And the Weather Service says there's a threat of wildfires.
Samoa's Director General of Health has warned the country is on the brink of declaring a dengue fever outbreak. The Samoa Observer reports Aiono Dr. Alec Ekeroma told media a situational report on dengue is issued weekly. Aiono says there is a possibility that by next week an outbreak of dengue will be declared, but this will depend on the figures made available today. The Asian Development Bank's Papua New Guinea country economist says inflation is expected to increase to 4.8% next year due to price pressures. As the National reports, Marcel Schroeder says inflation should hit 4.5% this year, an increase from 2.3% last year. At the bank's Outlook report launch in Port Moresby, Mr. Schroeder went on to say inflation has been impacted by civil unrest, among other things. The New Zealand opposition is accusing the government of a major shift in foreign policy and its approach to the AUKUS military pact. Labour facilitated a panel of critics of the agreement between Australia, the US and UK at Parliament yesterday. Last week, Foreign Affairs Minister Winston Peters and US Secretary of State Antony Blinken said there were powerful reasons for New Zealand to engage with AUKUS. Labour's Foreign Affairs spokesperson David Parker says that's significant.
They're making very strong noises that they're going to join it. There hasn't been much public scrutiny of what the benefits and the risks are of joining it. We think that's a major shift in foreign policy.
A spokesperson for the Foreign Affairs Minister says that there has been no change in approach, with New Zealand still at the exploratory stage. The CEO of the Pasifika Medical Association Group in Aotearoa says the biggest challenge faced by Pacific nations in maintaining consistent public health is the loss of its workforce. Debbie Sorensen, who was the advisor at the Pacific Heads of Government meeting held in Samoa, told the Samoa Observer many Pacific Island nations lose their workforce to New Zealand and Australia. Ms. Sorensen says all you have to do is look at what's happened with the regional seasonal workers, and in the health sector, Pacific nations lose nurses and doctors all the time. She says homegrown solutions are needed. New Zealand and the Philippines are making it easier for their armed forces to work together at a time of heightened tensions in the Indo-Pacific. The commitment was made in a meeting between Prime Minister Christopher Luxon and President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. in Manila overnight. Our Deputy Political Editor Craig McCallick is travelling with the Prime Minister.
The Filipinos put on a grand welcome at the Presidential Palace, laying on a lavish state banquet with live performances and a fireworks display. It's the final stop of Christopher Luxon's Southeast Asia tour and comes at a pivotal point in regional security as territorial clashes in the South China Sea become more frequent. Both countries have agreed to bolster defence ties and to seal a pact enhancing interoperability and allowing more joint exercises. Mr. Luxon returns on Sunday.
New Zealand's greenhouse gases have fallen for 3 years in a row to reach their lowest level since 1999. Climate Change Minister Simon Watts says clean energy is behind the drop, but his predecessor is urging caution. Here's our climate change correspondent, Eloise Gibson.
Planet-heating gases produced by New Zealand fell to 78.4 million tonnes in 2022, around 3.4 million tonnes less than the year before. That's the equivalent of shaving off three times the emissions produced by all domestic flights that year. All sectors reduced emissions, but the biggest drop was from electricity, which used more renewables and less fossil fuels. Wet weather allowed more hydro generation, although wind power also helped. Climate Change Minister Simon Watts says the results back the government's commitment to doubling renewable energy. But the former minister, James Shaw, says if there's another dry year, Huntly Power Station will need to boost coal use.
And still with climate, scientists say the recent deadly heatwave in West Africa and the Sahel would not have taken place without the impact of climate change. BBC Environment correspondent Matt McGrath reports.
The Sahel, which is made up of 10 countries across the Sahara's southern rim and parts of West Africa, were hit by a very powerful heatwave in April that researchers now say wouldn't have happened without human-influenced climate change. In Mali, temperatures exceeding 48 degrees Celsius were thought likely to have played a part in higher than normal death rates. The study shows that daytime temperatures were up to 1.5 Celsius hotter due to the ongoing emissions of warming gases from the use of fossil fuels, deforestation and agriculture.
In northeastern Indonesia, a volcano has erupted five times, and there are fears it could collapse into the sea, setting off a catastrophic series of waves. The authorities have been scrambling to evacuate thousands of people from nearby islands. Images of the Ruang volcano show lightning repeatedly striking the top as bright red lava flows down its sides. A major airport in the nearby city of Manado was shut because of volcanic ash. Flights have also been diverted in Brunei and East Malaysia to avoid ash clouds. In sports, Philip Basilala's season with the Fijian Indaroa has ended due to injury. Head coach McBurn told Fiji Times Basilala's injured his arm while playing for the Fiji under-20s. Meanwhile, recovering flying Fijian Caleb Munts is nearing his return to competitive rugby after serious knee injury. Tonga has named a strong amateur boxing squad to compete at the Oceania Youth and Junior Boxing Championships in Tahiti in July. Named in a team of 10 are two junior female boxers. More than half of a group of female athletes surveyed in a new report out of the UK say they support sports classification by biological sex rather than gender identity in women's contact and endurance sports. Christina Perisico has more.
Inside the Games reports 58% of the 175 world-class, elite and national-level female athletes agreed with this principle, with the exception of precision sports such as archery. Support rose to 77% among those defined as world-class athletes when talking about their own sport. However, 81% of all respondents said the inclusion of transgender athletes needed to be improved. They sought the views of current and former athletes, including 26 world champions, 22 Olympians, including 2 gold, 2 silver and 3 bronze medalists, and 6 Paralympians.
And that's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.